Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Why you know as friends.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence. Right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Wake Up Hollywood.
Wake Up Hollywood, yeah. Our studio audience wants it in. They want to get in right at the top. How was your week?
Yummy.
That was how my weekend was. It was super yummy.
I saw that your kid just started kindergarten.
Kindergarten today. First day of kindergarten.
That's a huge, huge deal.
Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird mind-blowing
thing. Well, you know what sucks for him? For the next 18 years, I guess it's 19 maybe.
I guess 19, yeah.
He's going to have homework.
Wasn't that 18? Isn't it? No, it's not 18. Well, I guess if you count
college. If you
college.
Go to college, yeah.
Yeah, well, we're not.
He's going to have homework.
We're not
papers.
Planning that far ahead yet.
We'll see if he gets to college.
We'll see about that.
No, but really, like, I was so excited for kindergarten. I still remember it very clearly.
That's what's so weird about it, because he went to kindergarten day, and I remember going to kindergarten. So it's like now I'm at that level now where he's going to start having the same memories that I had. So it's weird.
That's weird. What was his first lesson? Did you ask him?
No, actually, his teacher has one of those like baby arms.
You mean like on her?
Yeah, like she has like one of those arms that, you know, when in the 70s or 60s when parents took that anti-nausea medicine and they caused like deformities and like
oh, so extremities.
She has one arm is
like a pterodactyl.
It's not like a wing.
Not like a T-Rex.
No, well, it's like a little. It's a little arm, and I guess you know. Kids are much more open to that stuff. It doesn't freak them out as much. It's like, because I remember when I first went and met the teacher during the orientation like a month ago, I just automatically extended it was her right hand. I extended my right hand to shake it, and I'm like, ah, what am I doing? As I'm reaching to shake her hand, I'm like, what am I doing?
She's like, what the fuck?
And then of course she's used to it, so she puts out her left. She turns her left hand out, and but it's just like they're so much more open. And he's like. Well, as soon as I pick her up today, she's like, my teacher has a baby arm. I'm like, oh. And did you guys talk about that? He's like, yeah, we all talked about it in class. I'm like, oh, it's just interesting that like there's no judgment to it, or they're just more open.
Right, candid.
They're candid about it. It's not a big deal to them. Like, yeah, I have a baby arm.
One of my friends posted on Facebook last week. She was like, God, I walked up to the grocery line and I had all this stuff in my hands and I like put it down on the cashier and she was like, God, I feel like I'm just overwhelmed carrying all this stuff with two hands. And she looks and the cashier has one hand. Mm. And she was just like, I feel terrible.
Did they have a hook or something?
No, it was just like a sleeve tied with a knot, you know? Mm. You've seen that.
I'd want a hook.
Hate to see it.
I'd want some sort of
I'd
hook
want a hook.
A spike or something.
Yeah, yeah. Something like, I'm still badass, something. But... not
remote control.
Not as ambidextrous as you are.
Anyway,
it's a shame. It's a shame.
But yeah, so it's cool to see how open kids are.
Did he have homework after the first day?
No homework today.
Oh, he's lucky. I had homework.
It's
the
kindergarten
first day.
Though. I mean, how much?
No, I had homework the first day
in kindergarten.
I mean, it was small. It was like I think we started handwriting.
Like physically
like ABCs,
small.
ABCs. Yeah, it was physically small. It was only like a little handbook, like. Yay big, yay small.
Yay small. No, I don't remember having homework in kindergarten.
I got married in kindergarten.
Really?
A lot of things happened
well,
in kindergarten.
You're Indian, right? It's all prearranged. Isn't it?
Especially at that age.
Especially
like,
at that age.
Are you going to be a doctor? Yeah, okay, a doctor. You are going to marry my daughter.
Three kids?
Yeah, no, I remember that. I think that's... I remember three things from kindergarten. First of all, I remember my teacher was hot. I had a really hot teacher. Second of all,
in kindergarten?
Yeah, I totally had a hot teacher in kindergarten. I had like hot teachers like kindergarten, third grade, and in college, Rafaela.
I don't think I ever had a hot teacher.
I had an unbelievably gorgeous teacher for Italian in college.
I had my kindergarten teacher was named Mrs. Lamb, and I mean just that right there, she seems like she's 80. And she was.
That's so cliche.
But her assistant was Mrs. Wheel, and I think she was cute. From what
Dude,
I can
are
remember.
These real names, or are you making this shit
no,
up?
No, these were real names. Mrs. Lamb and Mrs. Wheel.
Who was nicer?
They're both really nice.
I'm gonna guess
I remember
the
Miss
Lamb.
Wheel was younger.
I'm just kidding.
God damn it!
which one was nicer?
They were both nice, but Miss Wheel was young, and I remember being like, "Oh, she's like, she's not cuter. Knowing what I was feeling, but feeling something."
Oh, I was on it. Kindergarten, I was like, "My teacher is hot. She looked like kind of like Dolly Parton, and like a young Dolly Parton.
How young? It had to be really young.
Like really young. She was really young." And I remember thinking, damn, dude, my kindergarten teacher is pretty hot.
Kindergarten, you were having those thoughts?
I was having those thoughts at 4 years old.
That's weird.
For sure. Like, I was on it. I still remember it. I definitely remember it. But anyways, I remember one time she was playing. She always played the Carpenters, too. Like, we had nap time. Did your kid have nap time today?
No, no nap time.
He got robbed.
He also had, did you have full day or half day of kindergarten?
Full day.
Oh, see, I had half day.
Well, I guess a full day went to 2 o'clock.
Yeah, but like my kindergarten, there was morning kindergarten, PM, and afternoon kindergarten. I went from like 8 a.m. to noon, and then other kids would come in, another whole class would come in, and we would leave, and then like noon to 3.
Oh wow, I think I was 8 to 2, mm-hmm. or 9 to 2, 8 to 2. I'm pretty sure.
But you grew up in
2.
LA Unified, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's the standard for LA Unified.
Yeah, and I remember she used to play the Carpenters, and we'd have nap time.
The Carpenters?
Which is so freaking, like, haunting. Have you ever listened to the Carpenters, like Karen Carpenter?
Yeah.
Like, her voice is really haunting, and it was not, like, nap time music. I remember thinking, this chick's voice is fucking freaky.
Why would they play the Carpenters?
I don't know. That was her favorite. That was her jam. So I remember I was sleeping kind of, like, with my head to the carpet and my butt in the air. And, like, I don't know
that's
why.
That's how you always sleep. Face down, butt sleep. Up.
I haven't slept like that since kindergarten because teacher came by and, like, she just smacked me on my ass. I remember going, oh, my God, I'm in trouble. And then I was like, I kind of liked that.
Okay. All right. Enough. That's good. We're good. We're good.
I had a good week. I had a concert full week.
Really? Where?
In all ways possible. I saw Michael McDonald and Toto on Thursday. You know what was a bummer about that? I was so excited to hear Michael McDonald.
I read your Facebook post about it. You ripped him a new one.
He was terrible. I was so excited to see Michael McDonald. He's like one of the best voices of all time.
And here's like, a nice piece of shit.
Honestly, it was like that. Honestly, from the first note, he was just like...
That's how Michael McDonald sounds.
No, no.
That's how you expect him to sound.
No. He's got some soul. He's got a good voice. But, man, he could not sing... a single note. 90% of his show, it was just shit notes the whole time. And I was just like, how is this guy getting away with this? This is like fucking ridiculous. So I was really pissed.
This is Michael McDonald.
And I was really like overwhelmed that Toto, who was an opening act, blew him off the stage. Like they were so tight. They were so good. And I'm not even a huge fan of Toto. But dude, they were just on. And
Toto sing? I don't know. I'm
not... Africa. Do you know Africa? Do you know Rosanna? Rosanna.
Oh, yeah.
So, we're probably going to have to pay for that.
Yeah, but it's not royalty free.
So, they blew him off the stage. But then I saw Gladys Knight and Kool & the Gang. And I really bought the ticket to see Kool & the Gang. Actually, one of my fans said, I'm going to see Gladys Knight and Kool & the Gang. And I'd never known that concert was happening. And I've always wanted to see Kool & the Gang. So, I bought a ticket to see that. And Kool & the Gang, man, they were the shit. Do you know Kool & the Gang?
Yeah.
Hollywood Swingin'. Yeah, they were amazing. I mean, they even had like their 70s outfits. They had
choreography. How old are they now?
They're old. They're definitely old. But dude, they looked and sounded amazing. I was blown away by that. And then on Sunday nights, I went with my family to see Paul McCartney. Wearing the shirt today. But dude... he was amazing, as he always is. 72, playing in front of 60,000 people, sold out concert, Dodger Stadium.
They packed in Dodger Stadium?
Yep. And my parents had never seen him live, so, and we sat way at the top, but man, when you saw everybody's cell phones, it looked like just like a night
sky. Did they have a monitor so you could see?
Yeah. Okay. They had three monitors, and we could still see him, but you just couldn't see him close. We brought binoculars, but, you know, even still, like hearing all those songs, like from their generation. They were blown away. And he played for 3 hours. 72 years old, playing for 3 hours straight without a break. Nope. And he didn't even drink water. That blew my mind. I was like, my dad actually was he noticed it. He was like, I don't think he's had a sip of water. And I said, you're right. He hasn't. That's crazy.
It can't be healthy.
It can't be healthy. So, it can't be healthy. But the crazy thing, too, is I also played two gigs. I played in two shopping malls. So I played in Orange County. So I played a gig, drove my ass from Orange County to the concert, and then did the same thing the next day. So on Sunday night, I was like, man, I haven't been this tired in
a lot of music.
It's a lot of music. It's a lot of music. Honestly, I don't advise that much music in 1 week. But
I don't like anything that much.
God, it was awesome, though.
It's just too much.
I saw Guardians of the Galaxy upon your recommendation from last week. It was awesome. It was very well done.
The soundtrack. That soundtrack was amazing.
The soundtrack was amazing. Yeah, I thought the same thing. The soundtrack was amazing.
I was listening to on the ride over. I've been listening to it like the past 3 days straight.
I love that they use like all classic songs, but not like the trendiest classic songs, you know?
Yeah.
And I like the way it ends. It's just got, it sets it up for, you know, a sequel.
Well, hopefully there's a sequel, and hopefully there's going to be a crossover with the Avengers.
Oh, is that, I have to ask you this, because I never knew Guardians of the Galaxy. So how did they come about?
It's the same universe, same Marvel universe.
Right.
But they're dealing with the Infinity Stones. It seems like everything's leading up to this thing with all these Infinity Stones. Whereas like in you saw the Avengers with the Tesseract, that gold, that cube, the energy cube. Yeah. That's one of the Infinity Stones. And then they're dealing with another Infinity Stone.
Oh, I see.
So there's six Infinity Stones.
So you think everything's going to collide into one?
I think there's going to be another. There's Avenger movie, Age of Ultron, coming out, and then there's another Guardian. But I think the third Avengers movie, I believe, is rumored to be the crossover.
That's going to be a little bit ridiculous.
It could be enormous.
That is going to be like the big summer blockbuster. Do you think they were expecting this to be like a huge?
Yeah.
Really?
Because they announced the sequel before this premiered.
When did they announce the sequel?
At Comic-Con.
I see. Looks like our guest just arrived.
God damn it!
She did not. She's been sitting here the whole time. I drove her here. She did not just arrive.
That's right. Dude, you talked over my doorbell, though. I'm going to pretend that.
God damn it!
Rachel Otto, how are you?
I'm great.
It's great to have you. We're like, this is like
like a reunion. Show.
For those of people that are just tuning in to Wake Up Hollywood, Rachel was our old sound engineer from our old radio station days.
Yeah.
We miss you. We miss you, Rachel.
Oh, I miss you.
And she would mix the music and then hate Nikhil because Nikhil would run our show over by half an hour.
Only me.
Hating at the 10 o'clock.
Right at 10
you'd
o'clock.
You'd look over at Rachel and she'd like look over the monitor. She's like all sweaty and her hair is all stuck to her face. And she was like, fucking end the show.
That's mostly because of the smell. The smell in Radio Titans was not favorable.
Yes. I don't know. It was mostly because my hair was just frazzled by the end of the show.
She was a hot
mess. Think of the new facilities at LA Talk Radio? Pretty nice.
It's nice.
It's roomy.
It's cool.
Eddie and I aren't spooning.
Bottles of water.
Bottles of water.
Some nice little additives. We like it. We wanted to.
In the water?
What?
Additives in the water?
Yeah. No, I'm just saying like luxuries, like accoutrement.
Wow, you moved to a new place and you get all fancy.
I know, I'm just pulling out the French, No, we wanted to bring you out here and feature you as one of our artists.
I know, you know, for all the sound I've been running at that radio station, I have not been a featured guest on any of the shows.
See, and you know
That's
what?
That's BS.
That is crazy bullshit. Radio Titans, fix that now.
Wait a minute.
I had you on. I had you play a song.
To fill space.
That's true.
Yeah, you were a big time filler.
You were
commercial break.
Yeah, I was the person you turned to when the other people weren't there.
But you know what? Now we're giving you a feature.
It's exciting.
You're getting more of a feature now than any of our guests did on Radio Titans. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
You're getting a full-on feature. So tell us a little bit about your story. Tell us where you grew up, how you got into music. Talk to us.
Okay, I grew up in Sunnyvale, California, Silicon Valley, San Jose-ish for those.
So you must know Jake.
Right? It's like we're in high school or something.
How come you didn't get into the Silicon stuff?
Well, I did actually get a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering. And
then you wiped your butt with that and played music?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah.
Did you get bored of that?
No, it was quite honestly my plan B. It was like, if this music thing doesn't work out, at least I could fall into it.
Now, did you come up with that, or did your parents say you need to do this as a backup plan?
Well, my parents were actually worried that if I majored in music, I would get sick of it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's insightful.
That makes sense.
So they wanted to keep the creativity alive and were like, but you should go to college because you should get a degree. And I was like, I can do this electrical engineering thing. And there's a lot of crossover between music and engineering.
Well, they're both sciences in a lot of ways.
Yeah, very much so.
Did you ever work in the electrical engineering field?
I did interns and summer jobs. And
doing what? What specifically do you do in electrical engineering?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Do you, like, change light bulbs? Like, what is electrical engineering?
It's an expansive field with a lot of different little nooks and crannies in it. But it ranges everything from, like, your smartphone to, like, the power grid. And what I was doing was digital video transfer over fiber optic cables. But I was just, like, a tester person. So, like, they were trying to transport video over fiber optic cables, like, digitally.
And you would just hit play or stop?
And pretty much, I would
I could
start
do that.
The
I don't
DVD
need a degree.
And I would make sure the lights were not blinky, and then I would check back every so often. And this is why it was never featured on any radio shows.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
You just watch lights to see if they're blinking or not?
It depends on what you do. That's what I was doing, but it was a summer job.
I want that job.
Sounds like you're a traffic controller.
I would kill for that job right now.
Dude, traffic controllers have it tough.
That's true. Especially in this city, or like San Francisco, or New York.
Ooh, yeah, tough
brutal,
job.
Brutal.
You have to go through months of training to be a traffic controller.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. There was a simulation we did in school.
What? Well, you can only get that in an electrical engineering major.
It was in eighth grade. I was in geometry.
Wow.
So, you know.
All right. So what got you into music? When did you start singing or playing an instrument?
I got into music when I was in first grade, and I heard about the Spice Girls.
Wow. That was
God. You were in first grade when the Spice Girls came out?
Yeah. I was in first grade when the Spice Girls came out.
That was your aha moment?
Well, before that, it was all Disney stuff and Princess Collection and things
like
that.
Okay, that's normal.
Yeah, and then...
So what made you transition to the Spice Girls? That's dangerous territory.
I know. My mom was not thrilled about that.
Which was your favorite Spice Girl?
I was going to ask.
Sporty Spice.
Who?
Sporty Spice.
Sporty Spice?
Yeah.
Why, because she was athletic?
Yeah.
Or you just liked her attitude, or attitude?
I quite honestly didn't know very much about them until about like a year into the whole Spice Girl thing.
Who was your favorite Spice Girl, Eddie?
I don't know. Scary? Is there a scary?
There was a scary Spice.
I guess scary. I don't know.
I like Ginger Spice.
I didn't really care for them.
Ginger Spice was sassy.
She married Beckham, right? Which one there?
No, that's Posh.
Posh Spice.
Posh was the hottest, but Ginger had the most, like, personality to me.
More like crazy in bed type.
Yeah.
Yeah, the one that was
pretty much
crazy. I don't know. I didn't pay attention to that.
Of course not. Yeah, no, but then the whole pop thing happened, so it was like Spice Girls and then Britney Spears and all that. And then,
now, did you learn like their choreography when you watched them on TV, things like that?
No, I actually, I didn't get to watch a lot of Spice Girl stuff as a kid.
So did that get you into music, or did that influence your music?
That got me listening. That got me listening to music.
Then what influenced your music?
I started playing guitar after seeing Freaky Friday with Lindsay Lohan.
Wow. And he's like, oh, I was so hoping you'd say somebody that I could
something
relate
cool.
to.
Yeah.
Something cool.
Yeah, but then I started playing guitar, and then I started getting into Pink Floyd and Zeppelin.
There we go.
Whoa.
There we go.
Okay.
How'd you go from Lindsay Lohan and Freaky Friday to Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin?
She played guitar, and then I was taking guitar lessons, and then we started playing cooler music. See, I never had taste. I always just... stole my brother's music.
Yeah.
So he must have been into Zeppelin.
So your brother, like Lindsay Lohan and the Spice Girls?
No, my brother was into like pop punk.
Okay.
Punk, rock, whatever.
So how old were you when you got into Zeppelin?
Oh, I was probably, what, 13?
That's when I was like, okay, Zeppelin's cool at 13. But I got really into them in high school. Eddie, what about you?
Middle school?
That was like the thing to do. You're like,
I got the t-shirt first.
Before even knowing the band, you got the t-shirt?
Because I was a metalhead in middle school, like Iron Maiden,
right?
Slayer, some Motley Crue, even though they were a little too glam.
They were pretty badass.
They were kind of, Theater Pain was a little too glam.
Dr. Feelgood, though?
That was way later.
Damn.
Dr. Phil goes way later.
I met Motley Crue when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. When I was 11 years old. In their heyday, Dr. Feelgood. When I was singing at the
Grammy Awards. No, Dr. Feelgood wasn't their heyday.
Yeah, I think that was their peak.
That was, no.
That you don't think that was their peak?
No. Dr. Feelgood was what? 89, 90?
Yeah, 89, 90.
I think their peak was like 87, 88.
Really?
Theater Pain, Girls, Girls, Girls.
Yeah, I know those songs. I think I felt like that Shout led at the Devil. To Shout at the Devil. That's a great
I think song. That was their... I think Dr. Feelgood was like short of them, just like that was
Rachel
it.
Has no idea who Dr. Feelgood is.
I know the song. Come on, Chris. Come on, give me some credit.
I just saw Motley Crue on a, I think it was a State Farm insurance commercial.
Oh my gosh.
It was like, that's not what that song was intended for. At least it was like Home Sweet Home or something. All right, so you got into Zeppelin. Who else? Who else did you get into?
Yeah, Pink Floyd, AC/DC, Aerosmith.
So you were like a rocker chick.
Yeah.
You were like, I identify. How did you go from the Spice Girls to Zeppelin?
I mean, there was a lot of, well, because you missed the whole, like.
What was in between?
There was like.
What was the bridge
there
between
had to be a crossover.
Spice Girls and Led Zeppelin?
All American Rejects, Motion City Soundtrack, Academy. So there's like this whole like indie pop punk thing that happened. And then, because I was stealing my brother's music. And he was listening to a lot of punk when he was in middle school.
But you got into like Zeppelin stuff just from learning to play
just
the guitar.
Just learning, yeah, definitely.
Because those are the things you try to play.
I definitely didn't start with Zeppelin when I was playing guitar, but did you start with like, were you like, I need to play AC/DC right now?
No. What do we start with? I mean, you always start with like silly things that no one...
Probably Blink-182.
There was
that
a little bit
sense.
Of Blink-182. I mean, I had a class and we would just like learn things and he would, my teacher would bring in little licks that you could learn, you know, so that you could actually play things.
Did you hear that? I was on the internet that
go ahead.
The bluegrass version of Thunderstruck.
No.
The bluegrass band did a cover of Thunderstruck.
No.
It's amazing.
Really?
On a banjo and spoons.
You have to send that to me.
It's amazing.
That sounds awesome.
Were they
awesome.
The same ones who did?
I don't know.
Some Metallica
they
covers?
Might have.
Yeah.
Probably.
That sounds awesome. That sounds awesome. All right, so you got into... When did you start a band? When did you start...
Yeah, that was in high school. Yeah, that's after I started learning guitar, and then I was like, I need a band.
Did you start singing, too, at the same time?
I started singing when I was, like, 3.
Okay.
And I would do talent shows and stuff like that.
Okay.
Colors of the Wind and other Disney...
What's Colors of the Wind? Explain that. Never heard of that.
Pocahontas song?
Oh, yeah. It's
yeah, similar. Colors of the Wind.
Did you know that, Eddie? Because I'm not good with a lot of Disney movies after Lion King. Colors of the Wind. I didn't know what that was.
No,
I thought that was. I actually thought it was like
you've
a
heard the song though, right?
Now it rings a bell. But it's not like one of those.
Sure,
like,
sure. It's
know,
not under the sea.
Can you feel the
okay,
love tonight?
Right.
I get that right away. I'm like Disney. Okay, I got that. That's awesome though. All right, so you started playing songs. Did you start doing covers? Did you start writing as a band?
I started writing. Because I was one of those kids who would learn all the lyrics to all the songs that you really, really liked, right? So you get exposed to structure, and you're like, oh, that's a chorus, and that's a verse, and then you put a bridge towards wherever. And so I learned about structure just by learning the songs that I liked. And then at some point, it was actually right before I started learning guitar, I was like, I could write a song.
You're like, I can do this.
I could totally do this, yeah. And so then I started trying to write my own songs. And they weren't great, but
you
write them.
You got to start somewhere.
Totally.
You got to start somewhere. That's the way it works.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So, what was the name of your band in high school?
Achilles Heel.
Oh!
Spelled H-E-A-L.
Oh! Yeah.
We were cool. We were a six-piece all-girl garage band.
Why Achilles Heel?
Because I was trying to be cool, and I didn't want a girly name.
You wanted it to be badass?
Yeah, which...
You wanted your name to open a can of whoop-ass?
Dang!
So, Achilles Heel.
Yeah.
What's the... I don't even know what the angle is with that. Like,
I don't
like, it's kind of like... You're kind of like saying, we're weak here. This is our weakness.
No, but you heal because he healed, you know. Let's see. You go for the regeneration.
So, Achilles healed...
No,
a heel instead of not the anatomical heel.
Okay, so like
you
it's
get
like,
better.
Like, yeah, like
you're repaired. Achilles
right.
repaired.
Right.
Okay.
You all make right. it sound like he's a car.
So many levels there. So many levels.
Yeah. See, and when you're in high school, you're like, oh, I'm so deep.
Okay. So did you guys play out other high schools? Did you play like
no,
a high school
biggest,
dance?
The coolest thing we did was we played the eighth grade graduation for the year, like 2 years after us.
That's awesome.
So you guys
That's
were like sophomores
in high school?
Straight
up Beverly Hills 90210.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's awesome.
It's awesome, but at the same time, it wasn't. Because we didn't do covers, because I would write all the songs.
Ah.
So you play, and everyone's like, I have no idea what the song is.
Right.
And you kind of suck. And
that age, kids just want to hear covers.
Play Freebird.
Like, well, you know, Van Halen, they played my high school, not when I was in high school, a couple years before, about 10 years before. They got booed. Van Halen. So Achilles heel... Could have been something by now if you guys just stuck it out.
What year did they play your high school?
Probably 78, 77.
Okay, that's before.
Yeah. They made their heyday like in the early 80s, right? Yeah. 81, 82. Yeah, this is like 76,
right before they popped.
77, and they got booed. And they started playing at like high school dances. They got booed.
Yeah, but their music,
crazy.
I mean, they aren't really high school dance music.
How could Eddie Van Halen get booed?
You know, Stevie Ray Vaughan got kicked out of the first band that he was ever in.
Yeah, but that could be jealousy of, like, this guy.
No, they kicked him out because he couldn't play guitar. That's why, like, I heard the interview. The guy was like, we kicked him out because he couldn't play guitar. And that just motivated him to play. So sometimes it can happen. I know what you're thinking. I'm thinking the same thing.
Like, I don't even know music. I'm like, how? Doesn't even make sense.
Well, you got to start somewhere. And, like, bands in the beginning aren't always great. Like, Achilles heel could have been pop... top radio by now.
You guys could have been the Spice Girls.
You gave up on each other.
You could have been the Spice Girls,
too. It's really difficult when you're six high school girls in a band together.
That's awesome.
It's really difficult.
That's tough, though.
It's difficult just being friends when you're in high school.
So what year did you guys form the band?
That was...
Sophomore year? Okay, and did it go all the way until you graduated?
No.
You didn't even last till high school?
We lasted, like, a year.
And then you broke up?
Well,
for stylistic
and then
differences?
No, people started doing other things. It's like, and then wouldn't show up to practice.
They started doing solo projects.
Done. I can't.
Because Sarah made out with Brett.
Luckily, there wasn't any of that drama.
No.
That helps.
Yeah,
that's good.
Now, six girls. What's the instrumentation in that kind of band?
Oh, I was vocals and guitar, and there were two other guitarists, drummer, bassist, keyboardist.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So you left high school. And you were you taking any music classes, or were you still kind of pursuing music after high school?
Oh, in college?
Yeah.
I started taking songwriting classes at SC, and then...
That's right.
SC grad.
That's right.
Yeah.
Fight on.
But...
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
USC condoms.
Who was your songwriting teacher at USC?
I had Andrea Stolpe my first year.
I don't know who that is.
And then David Poe my second year.
Okay.
And...
That name rings a bell.
Oh, Adriana, what was her last name? Adriana was cool, though.
I was hoping you'd have my songwriting teacher. My songwriting teacher was there. What year did you go to USC?
I started in 09.
09. Yeah, he left at 07, I think, or 08. Right around there is when he left. And were you there when they started the pop music program, or do you probably...
Yeah, I was there like when they just started the pop music program.
Okay. So they started a pop music program, but before it was just like songwriting classes. Now they have a whole bona fide program based around songwriting and original music, which they didn't have before when I was there. But that's amazing. So you took songwriting classes at USC. Did you start playing with musicians at USC?
Not really, no. Actually, most of my musical outlook were the songwriting classes I was in. I took a voice class, and that was the only other like music class.
So you just a couple classes, and then you go to your electrical engineering classes?
Electrical engineering classes, and I minored in music recording.
Oh, okay. So you still had
there was some
your hands
music
on the
overlap
clutches.
In there. Yeah.
Okay.
But
cool.
Between all that, it's like there's not that much time. Plus, I was doing other things. I was involved with clubs and kicking ass. And
totally kicking ass.
Kicking ass.
Totally kicking
I love
ass.
It. Well, let's get to your first song. Why
sure.
don't we get? Let's get to some music, and
let's
then let's
it.
Keep talking to you and. Get interviewing.
Do
you
want
to play? You want to play a recorded track, or do you want to play something live first?
Let's not scare people away with my recorded track. So let's do something.
All right,
live.
All right. Let's do something live. What are you going to play us?
I'll play Mary.
All right. We like Mary, not to be confused with Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Oh, it's very similar.
So bad. So.
God damn it!
So bad.
I know. You just want to.
I'm here for the gangbang.
Shoot me. You want to do one of those. I know you think.
You've got me mad now.
So, as someone who cares about the sound, how do you want me to set this up?
You know what? If you just play, if you sing into the mic, okay, we'll be able to hear. Because yeah? I know you strum hard like I do.
I didn't. Yeah, I was running around trying to get here on time, and I don't have a pick on me.
Let me see if I got one.
Gil, you have a pick in your butt, don't you? I do. I may have one in my. You really do. You're reaching into your butt to get a pick.
No, I think I have one in my wallet. Hold on.
Thrilling talk radio.
What?
Thrilling talk radio. There's a pick.
I do have one.
Oh, beautiful.
Boom.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right, so this is Mary.
This is Mary.
Rachel Otto, Mary.
Mary was a little lamb, wide-eyed babe with naive hand. She had a soul as white as snow, so the shepherds said. Secret of a quiet child, she was born of wolves and wild. The field thinks she's sweet and mild, but if they saw her shed a woolen coat, they'd understand that Mary is a lion-hearted lamb. Mary is a lion-hearted lamb. Mary. Mary, tired of wearing fleece, of being a docile, fluffy sheep, took a chance and jumped the fence. The shepherd fell asleep. At next count, the truth came out. The little lamb was forest bound. The flock thinks that she'll come around and wander back down to the pasture, bat her eyes and eat the grass. But Mary is a lion-hearted lamb.
Nice job, Rachel.
Thanks.
So you graduated USC when?
I graduated in 2013.
Okay, and then you just recently graduated.
Like a year ago.
Oh, yeah. Nicely done. Eddie's like, I feel old.
So many things have made me feel old today. So many things.
Kindergarten, Rachel graduated.
Graduating last year. Spice Girls in first grade.
Yeah. And he's like, I remember that when I was 19.
I was like 20-something.
So one of the things that I think is cool about you coming on the show is, like, usually we have a lot of seasoned artists or guys and girls or bands that have been out there. But you know what? It's really important when you see somebody that's just starting to see, like, where they can go. The options are endless. Like, so tell us what you're doing now. Are you playing in a band? Are you playing solo? Where are you playing? Give us a little bit of that.
Right now I'm playing solo in the midst of trying to book places. I run sound in an open mic that I perform at every Thursday.
Where is that?
At Sabor e Cultura in Hollywood. Hollywood and Gramercy. And trying to figure out my next musical project.
Where have you played recently? You just played somewhere recently. Was that at that venue?
Yeah, I played a couple Saturdays ago there at Sabor, and then I played at Five Star Bar a while back.
Where's that?
That's in downtown.
Okay.
Third and Main.
So you're hitting the LA Hollywood scene.
Yeah, kind of slowly, and feel like I'm kind of creeping my way in.
You're strategic. That's what we like to call that. You're strategic.
Sure, we'll go with that.
You're circumspect in where you want to perform and share your music.
Well, it's been interesting because the past year has just been about making connections. Right. And kind of scoping everything out, finding where I can play, where I can fit in without being a nuisance, you know.
Ah, you're not a nuisance. So what's the plan now? Do you want to get into band? Do you want to just play solo for a while?
The plan now is to play solo, but really refine everything.
Smart cookie.
Up the musicianship on all the songs. Make everything sound good solo.
Yeah.
And then bring in a band. So
that's how I started. I actually started as an acoustic duo. And we just played and played and played. And that would lend to how we, when we'd incorporate like a bass player or a drummer or whatever it was, it just like lent itself to the arrangement. When you have all that stuff kind of ironed out, when right. you have more than one person or even just one person ironing out how things are arranged in the song performance, then when you add people, it's just so much easier. It's just well put together. That's how you lay a foundation.
Can you write, like when you write a song, do you write a song thinking of it acoustically first, like just solo and then?
No. Well, I mean, it depends. It really depends.
Yeah.
But usually I hear more in my head than acoustic, because
and then you just strip it down to play it solo.
Yeah, because I grew up listening to a lot of pop and a lot of punk rock and a lot of rock, so it's like I hear those arrangements in my head, but it's like how can you translate that to an acoustic guitar and one vocal.
Are you still formulating like your sound? Like I think that's an important part of I think playing out and
kind
just...
of. Yeah, I mean, I'm still figuring it out. It's interesting. You know, you think you're going one direction and then you write a song and you go, oh, that's like totally different from what I've been doing. And how does that fit in? Because in the back of your mind, you're like, I'm going to write for me, whatever. But at the same time, you have to be aware that, you know, there's like branding stuff that happens and all these other kind of aspects of just presenting yourself to the public. Because if you confuse people that you're playing to, I mean, it could work.
It could work for you, it could work against you.
It could work against you. So it's like, I don't know. It's kind of the brilliance of going to an open mic where you play two songs and no one has any idea what you are.
Yep. That's a, like a real vibrant part of the career, I think. Let's play something that you have recorded. Let's hear something recorded. I think we have...
This is the equivalent of a bedroom recording.
Oh, that's all right. We like... You know what? Some of my favorite artists made records like that, so you never know.
They probably sounded a little bit less...
And you can play it off your phone, or you, what do we have on? What do
I have on the computer? Emailed it.
Oh, yeah. It should be there somewhere.
Right. Donut?
Donut.
That's your...
This is Donut.
Me hungry.
By Rachel. Here it comes.
Maybe you would get me if
reach that far. Maybe you would get me if I could offer more. 80 cents on the counter, smiles dropped on the floor. Maybe you would get me if I could offer more. 80 cents on the counter, smiles dropped on the floor. But no one moves to claim the loose change. No one moves to claim the loose. No one moves to claim the loose change that falls.
Nice indeed. Very nice. Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Still outlasted you. All night. All night I'll go.
Rachel, that was awesome.
Thanks.
That totally, you know, don't sell yourself short. That sounded great.
Thanks.
Very Edie Brickell, Natalie Imbruglia. Do you remember her? Mm-hmm. Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
you know who she is?
Mm-hmm. Kind
of. Yeah, it's got like that pop kind of folky kind of vibe. Very cool. I loved it. I thought it was really cool. So, before we forget, where can people find you?
Excellent.
What are your Twitter handles? What is your website? Tell us all the info.
Everything's under ROTO Sings, S-I-N-G-S. So Twitter, Roto Sings, Facebook, Roto Sings.
Is that Instagram. Your stage name or do you go by Rachel?
I go by Rachel, but Roto just looks cooler.
I think Roto is a cool
Roto.
Name.
Roto. Go with Roto.
Honestly.
Yeah, I mean, people have started calling me that, so.
Roto is a cool. I mean, I don't know. I think Roto is a cool name.
Yeah, Roto just
Rachel,
Roto just sang that song.
Roto, that's
Roto just sang that.
Roto just sang.
Roto just wrote it.
She just sang
too.
Donut. That's who
wrote
did,
it.
That's who did Donut. Rachel
Roto
did donut.
Wrote Donut.
Roto did it.
Roto
did Donut.
Roto nut. Yeah.
Well, let's have you play another song live for
sure.
us.
Sure. Let's see. Kind of want to rock out a little.
All right.
Uh-oh.
Sweet.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to hit that. That was
now you're booing.
I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Well, I was probably booing your soundbite. Yeah, take that.
I'm gonna come on you like nobody's ever come
Jesus.
On you before.
You don't have to get that excited.
Sometimes I want to do this to Eddie Sound. Yeah, take that.
Are you okay?
This is what happens when you don't have music to play.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, hurry up and start playing some.
Okay.
God damn it!
What's the name of the song?
I guess we're doing this one. This is Gray Coat.
Gray Coat. All right.
Love the name of your songs. Donut, Gray Coat.
I grew up listening to a lot
Mary.
Of punk, so
that's
yeah.
cool. I like it.
Through the haze of lantern lit, smoky rooms with gold coins spent on shots of courage, with a twist on coasters on an old oak bar. Heel stomp a salted stage, ruffled skirts kiss fishnet legs. This the best parts of their days, hoping to attract her gaze. From me they all look away but slip me in a red lace dress. And I'd bewitch and make them twitch. Oh, I could make them want me fast. Just as she makes castanets of their hearts, she burns her mark on their poor hearts. Each fiery dance is clear I never had a chance. Here, condensation starts to drip down the sides of glasses sipped and down the sides of minds unzipped with all the ways the night could end. Roses thrown at dainty feet, a graceful bow but doesn't meet their hungry eyes as she retreats. Disappointment squirms and seats, not a second glance but slip me in a red lace dress. And I'd bewitch and make them twitch. Oh, I could make them want me fast. Just as she makes castanets of the heart, she burns her mark on their poor hearts. Each fiery dance is clear I never had a chance. The debt is paid and I step out uncrowned. around my gray coat has by so quietly. They don't know what they're missing. But slip me in a red lace dress, and I'd bewitch and make them twitch. Or I could make them want me fast, just as she makes castanets of the heart. She burns her mark on their poor hearts each fiery dance. Slip me in a red lace dress. Just as she makes castanets of the heart, she burns a mark on their poor hearts each fiery dance. It's clear I never had a chance. Yeah.
Yeah, very nice. Jeez. Rachel, this is special for us because we wanted to feature you. You did so much work for us at our last radio home, and now you're a guest on our new radio home.
Featured guest.
That's a featured guest.
I appreciate it.
Of course. So where can we see you play? Where are you playing next?
It's up in the air right now. I'm doing work to get next big show. But every Thursday at Sabori Cultura, I perform.
There you go.
So come out.
What time?
I also run sound. Sign-ups are at 7:45. Show starts at 8:15.
Do you play throughout or just the beginning?
I play usually middle end.
A middle end?
Yeah, because I let other people come and play and do their thing since I'm there every week. And then I blow everyone's socks off towards the end.
Oh, thank God you said socks off.
Yeah, no, I don't that offer been, that.
You would have had a long line out the door.
They don't pay me enough to offer those services.
You're glad the socks are... Well, people have to come with socks on to get their socks blown off.
It's hard in the summer because people don't wear socks.
Oh, so what do? You blow their flip-flops off?
I blow their hair off.
Just move past the blowing part.
You know what? It's awesome, though. You know, it's great that you're out there performing. You're at the very opening, beginning stages of a blossoming career. And we wish you the best. This is the best way to send you off.
Thank you
very
much. Right? Thank you, guys.
Right, Eddie?
Yeah.
You want to talk Robin Williams for a minute? We got to give a little props to Robin Williams.
So it's a weird thing. It's so sad. It's weird.
Did you hear that he was he hung himself?
Yeah. I read all the details, unfortunately. I didn't. I wish I hadn't, but I did.
No. Yeah, I did too. I was really bummed because he's a huge influence on me just as an artist. Do you have any sound bites that...
I don't have any.
Well, why don't you YouTube bites. Something? We'll send our audience off with a Robin Williams soundbite just to pay tribute in the best way possible. Were you a big Robin Williams fan, Rachel?
Not a huge Robin Williams fan. Not
really. He was probably before.
I mean, I got in there at like Flubber.
Oh, that's not the best movie to start.
Jumanji. I saw Jumanji.
Jumanji was good. Jumanji, what about Good Will Hunting?
Didn't see it.
Never saw Good Will Hunting. You need to watch it.
You never saw Good Will Hunting?
No. That's one of the best movies ever made. It really is. Go see that.
Okay.
I have to say that his performance, that's what he won the Oscar for. And it's extraordinary. His performance in that is unbelievable. I was a big Mork and Mindy fan. I'm sure you were too, Eddie. That was his first TV show. I was a big Dead Poets Society fan. Real random tidbit. I actually was supposed to be in the movie Hook, when he was Peter Pan, and I was supposed to be one of the Lost Boys. And
I could totally see you as a Lost Boy.
I was so excited, but I had a prior singing engagement. Like, I was going on tour. I was going to be singing in Phoenix. And so my dad, he made me turn it down because I had already committed to Phoenix. So that's a big regret that I never got the chance to actually work with him. But that would have been my chance to work with Robin Williams. But I was a huge, huge fan of Robin Williams. Eddie, why don't you talk a little bit about Robin Williams? Because I know you were a pretty big fan of Robin Williams.
I as a kid watching Popeye, the movie Popeye.
Yeah.
I love the movie Popeye.
I need to watch that again.
It's such a great... I mean, I got destroyed by critics and all that stuff, but I thought it was great. As a kid, it was like one of my childhood. I saw it like 6 times in the movie theater.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I love that movie. I don't know why.
Well, probably because you grew up with Popeye, and that's the only time that movie was made, I think, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was amazing in that. But he's been amazing in everything that he's done. I've never seen him, like Mrs. Doubtfire. He was incredible in that. Yeah. He's been incredible.
He's never been bad. The stuff he's been in, hasn't been great.
Yes.
But he...
Patch Adams, that's one of my favorite movies ever that he made. So, big shout-out to Robin Williams. Big shout-out to Robin Williams' family.
Here's a
clip.
I'll play a little part of his stand-up for a minute.
Okay, cool.
But frogs fell from the sky. At that point, I'd be going, get your shit now! Frogs, I said, wait a minute. That's what we should do. That's what we should drop on Afghanistan. Not bombs, not food. Fucking frogs. Frogs, lizards, hamsters, gerbils, shit they haven't seen. And if you want to get people out of caves, a shitload of New York rats.
That was Robin Williams.
Yeah, Robin Williams. We applaud you. You're a wonderful artist. And we hope you're not suffering anymore.
Thanks for all the laughs. All right.
Thank you for
Have
all
a good
laughs.
Night, everybody. Wake up, Hollywood.
We'll see you next week. Bye.